Hi, I'm Andrea Ivory, your host of Living for Longevity, a podcast designed to help you live your best life, presented by the Women's Breast and Heart Initiative, a nonprofit organization that transforms and saves lives through disease prevention and early detection. Today, I am honored to introduce our guest, J.C. Julio Rodriguez, clinical exercise physiologist, published researcher, life and fitness coach, and also he's the CEO of OnConoFit, a company that provides physical fitness training and coaching virtually. J.C., welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure having me here, and I really appreciate just being here with you.
Well, you know, physical fitness is critical to our well-being. Most of us engage in some form of physical activity daily. We use our hands, our arms, our feet, our legs, even our core to go about our daily duties, to live our best lives, and actually to complete our tasks on a daily basis. But the question is, JC, do we do enough?
Right. So some people say not enough.
Yes. Well, today we're going to delve into a strategy, science-based strategies that are designed to help us with our fitness, our endurance, our mobility, and our strength. So now, are you ready to get to it?
Let's get started.
Let's get to it. Now, please, JC, tell us more about yourself.
Yeah, so just a little bit about me, right? I got my bachelor's in exercise science, master's in clinical exercise physiology, right? And I have a couple different years in the hospital system, right? But through that journey, I've also learned a lot of physiology, but also the mental struggles that go with improving your health and fitness, right? And I think that's where the majority of people really struggle, is the battle that it takes to improve your health, right? And, you know, I come today not as somebody who had the perfect genetics, right? Who was easy to be skinny to, it was easy to, you know, not hold fat, but somebody who really struggled, right? And I had to learn the science, and that's really what helped me get over a lot of those mental hurdles. And that's where I'm really passionate about, is helping others overcome the mental hurdles to improve their health and fitness.
Wow, that's exciting to know. I thought you were the picture of health. You mean you have to work at this? This is awesome. So what is physiology?
Yeah, so physiology is the study of how your body functions, right? So we're really looking at different systems, your heart, your nervous system, your muscles, right? And how they all function together in a healthy state, but also when they're sick.
Well, JC, what is a clinical exercise physiologist?
Yeah, so that's a great question, because I get that all the time. And, you know, your doctor may told you, yeah, you need to meet with the physiologist. And you're like, what in the world is that, right? Who do I talk to? And before I talk about what it is, I want to describe what it's not, right? So a lot of times people think I'm a personal trainer or a physical therapist. A physical therapist, they're going to focus more on rehab. So after surgery, you tore your meniscus, you sprained your ankle, you're going to focus on a localized rehab. Personal trainer is mostly for somebody who's healthy. Maybe they want to improve their endurance. Maybe they want to be a little bit healthier, right? But overall, generally healthy. For me, and a clinical exercise physiologist, I'm right in the middle, right? So I'm a healthcare professional, just like a physical therapist is, but I also help patients and people improve their health, right? We're focusing on improving strength, flexibility, mobility in both a healthy population and in a sick population, or if somebody has diabetes, cardiovascular disease, cancer, whatever it may be. So we target both, and we use the science-based physiology to improve your health.
That's very comforting to know. But let me ask you another question. How do you address physical activity when it comes to preventive health?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. And that's really where the physiologist comes in, the clinical exercise part. So just like a doctor would look at your blood pressure, your lipid panels, your metabolic panel, right? I do that as well, right? I'm looking at the same markers your doctor's looking at to improve your health. Except the difference is I'm not looking at them from the perspective of what medications do you need to take although I will review those, right? But I'm looking at it from the perspective of what's the exercise prescription, right? Being what's the frequency? How often do you need to exercise? How much time, right? And at what intensity? So certain people need more intensity. Specifically, if you're struggling with your glucose, your blood sugar, you want a higher intensity, right? If you're struggling with your cholesterol, you want to focus on losing belly fat, right? So that's really what I'm looking at. I'm looking at what your doctor looks at, except from a perspective of what's the nutrition, what's the exercise to target that so you don't need the medication.
Well, here's one for me. What types of physical activity do you recommend for those of us who want to stay physically fit as we mature in age?
So this is a great question because I think it's so fun, right? And maybe I might get some slack for this, but really what you need to do as we mature in age and as we get older, it's almost the same thing that you need to do as you're young. So let me explain, right? Like when you're a child, you're running, you're jumping, you're throwing things, right? And not that you need to run and jump and throw things, right? But you need to focus on your cardio, right? Making sure you're getting some adequate amount of cardio. You need to focus on lifting weights, right? But more importantly is as we age, we lose a lot of balance and coordination, right? So that's kind of where the throwing kind of comes in and focusing on your hand-eye coordination, improving your balance to reduce risk of falls, to strengthen your bones, right? To improve your overall fitness. So that's really what we're focusing on. Something that really helps you both with your cardio, with your strength, and with your balance. And that could be Zumba. You might love to dance, right? It could be yoga, right? That's gonna improve your balance. But whatever you choose, make sure you pair it with something that it doesn't give you. So maybe you love to dance, you're gonna need to do strength training, right? Dancing's not gonna feel like work. Strength training might, just make sure you pair it. 2 times a week is fine. Maybe you love yoga, right? But you're missing the cardio aspect. Can you do a brisk walk, right? So making sure to pair it with what you already love to do to improve your health.
Can you tell me what inspired you to move from practicing in a institutional setting to a private virtual practice?
Yeah, I think when it comes to the institutional setting, it's very localized. You know, they only target the people who can make it, right? So if you're in Homestead and you need to make it to Coral Gables, if you live in Miami, you know that's a very far drive, right? Like with traffic, it'll take you forever to make it, right? But when it comes to online, you know, I have patients I work with and clients I work with who are in Colombia, Venezuela, New York, Indiana, right? They're all over the world and I'm able to impact more lives that way.
That's good to know that you're so accessible. I didn't know you were international.
Yeah.
Look at that. Thank you. Well, based on your experience, what advice can you share with our audience that can make a difference in their lives?
You know, I think the biggest thing I would share with the audience is today's day and age, you want to be careful who you're listening to. And this is so important because it can make or break your health and fitness journey. So let me explain real quick. If you're following somebody who you just feel guilty for following, right? They tell you, don't eat that, don't touch this, you know, you can't do this. Then what is that really doing for your health? It's creating you more anxiety and more pressure. If you're following somebody who you're always comparing yourself to, why can't I look like them? Why can't I lift as much as they? Why can't I be that? They have a totally different life than you. You know, you might have 3 kids, they're probably in their 20s, you know, doing this full time. You can't compare yourself. So be careful who you're listening to and make sure you get good advice. You know, if you ever need someone to follow, you know, Living for Longevity is incredible for what they're doing. You're more than welcome to follow me as well. But just be careful who you're listening to because it could really hurt you or help you tremendously.
A Medical News Today article cites a study that attributes obesity, type 2 diabetes, some cancers, and even heart disease to a sedentary lifestyle. But the good news is being physically active reduces your risks for chronic health conditions and even premature death. JC, can you tell me, please, what are some of the physical benefits of working with a clinical exercise physiologist?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest things is the benefit that physical activity brings, right? So when it comes to overall health, we see that one of the best determinants of health is your fitness. And fitness can be broken down into 5 different categories, right? We're looking at your body composition, which is how much muscle to fat you have, right? We're looking at your cardiovascular health, your muscle strength, muscular endurance, and your flexibility. And these five areas all help perform your body functions best, right? So if you're looking for, you know, cardiovascular health, cardio, muscular, strength training, right? Flexibility helps with a broad different amount of areas, right? So targeting those five areas, as well as making sure that you're eliminating barriers. What's stopping you from exercise? And creating an environment for success. What's gonna help you remember to exercise, right? So creating an environment for success, limiting variables that stop you from exercise, and trying to improve in each one of those throughout life. Not all together at once, but throughout life.
Very inspiring and exciting to know, because we all struggle. We all struggle. I mean, there are some of us that don't even have things that are addressed. Like, we don't talk about osteoporosis. Mm. You know, we don't talk about how physiology helps with that, or how working with a clinical exercise physiologist works with that. Can you share a little bit about what you do for osteoporosis?
Yeah, so when it comes to the bones, you really want to focus on different angles, right? So what that means is, you know, many times we focus, like, let's say a squat. It's just up and down. But the bones also work kind of side to side. You know, a lot of sports injuries happen twisting and turning and cutting, right? So same thing with the body, right? If you're not used to, you know, side lateral movements, backwards, your bones can be weaker in certain areas. So making sure you're lifting weights and lateral lunges, backward lunges, diagonal, right? That's very important. As well as improving your balance, you know, and doing lunges help with balance. Bulgarian split squats work with balance. And that's all gonna be determined on your age, which ones we focus on. But that's very important when it comes to exercise. As well as your nutrition, getting enough sleep, right? All those factors make a big difference. So we're looking for amount of force on the bones. So we do gotta lift heavier than we're normal in order to provide enough force to tell the body, hey, we need to add more calcium here. Otherwise, we're not gonna be able to handle the load.
And how do you make adjustments for those who have bad knees, a bad back, or some leg issues? What do you do to address that?
Great question. So that really kind of comes down to understanding and learning your body mechanics, right? And so when I see somebody, the first thing I ask, right, is, can you show me how you do a squat, right? Can you show me, you know, what have you been taught? If you were to pick up something from the ground, how would you do it? And just by seeing them, I'll be able to see, okay, we're focusing a little bit too much on bending the back rather than bending at the hips, right? If somebody's taller, you're probably going to work better with a wider stance than a more closer stance, right? A lot of the different information that you hear online, you know, for example, keep your weight on your heels. That's good advice only if you're not putting your weight on your heels, mm-hmm. but you want your weight in the middle of your foot. So I got to see how everybody functions and how they perform best. But I think the biggest thing is just making sure that the exercise is safe. So if I'm working with somebody that's older, you know, I'm not going to be having them jump on a box that's, you know, 3 feet tall, right? I'm really making sure that they're safe and that they feel comfortable with the movement. For any exercise, there's a bunch of different progressions to it. So you can do a push-up without getting on the ground, and then you can slowly work your way into that. So it's about working through the different exercises and ranges of motions.
Thank you so very much for this informative conversation. I'm sure our listening audience has some tidbits that they can pull out, some nuggets that they can use in the future. But, you know, what I'd like to share now is basically just to quantify. I'm going to quantify what is recommended for physical activity. It is recommended that you engage in at least 150 minutes of physical activity every week. And I know that may sound daunting to some, so I always recommend to people that you break it up into 90, 60, 30, even 10-minute sessions. You know, take the stairs instead of the escalator or the elevator, or explore your neighborhood. Take a walk around the block. Try pickleball, that's something new, or swimming or biking. The bottom line is, we just have to get moving. Let's get physical. Well, in closing, I always like to give gratitude, so I would like to thank my production team that is behind the scenes. We don't know how they do it, but they managed to do it. Thank them tremendously. And then there's one high school student that I have to do, just give a shout out to. It's Maritza Costa. He is an amazing, exceptional high school student who's actually been the one that's nudging me to do this podcast. But he has his own nonprofit organization, and he focuses on the next generation, preparing them, equipping them to lead our country. He's doing amazing things here in South Florida, throughout the state, and even in Washington, D.C. And then, of course, to our special guest, J.C., Julio Rodriguez. Look, keep coaching, keep teaching, keep serving, and keep living your best life. Well, I'm your host, Andrea Ivory. Tune in next month for another episode of Living for Longevity, a podcast designed to help you live your best life, presented by the Women's Breast and Heart Initiative, a nonprofit organization that transforms and saves lives through disease prevention and early detection. Featured will be stories of triumph over tragedy, lifestyle experts, strategies to help you live a disease-deterrent lifestyle, and resources to guide you along the way so that you can live your best life and enjoy more time with family and friends doing the things that you love to do. Well, please follow us. We are at flbreasthealth.com. There you can find resources and donate to disease prevention or an early detection, and also we're social. You can visit us at Facebook and YouTube at the WBHI and on Instagram and X at WBHI. Thank you so very much for joining us, and until next time, live your best life.